This is The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. I'll ask the questions and I'll let the book do the talking using words from its own pages. This is essentially a book interview. Your time is valuable, so let's get started. Today, I'll be interviewing The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, a practical guide to the fulfillment of your dreams by Deepak Chopra. It currently has an overall rating of 4.8 on Amazon, and 85% of the reviewers call it a five-star book. Question number one, what's the book about? Answer, this book shatters the myth that success is the result of hard work, exacting plans, and driving ambition. Instead, it offers a life-altering perspective that once we understand our true nature and live in harmony with natural law, then material abundance and success will spring forth easily and effortlessly. Question. How exactly do you define success? Answer. Success in life can be defined as the continued expansion of happiness and the progressive realization of worthy goals. Success is the ability to fulfill your desires with effortless ease. In reality, we are divinity in disguise, and the gods and goddesses in embryo that are contained within us seek to be fully materialized. True success is therefore the unfolding of the divinity within us. When we begin to experience our life as the expression of divinity, not occasionally but all the time, then we'll know the true meaning of success. Question. And to experience this expression of divinity within us, the book outlines seven spiritual laws of success. Let's start with the first law. What is it exactly? Answer. The first spiritual law of success is the law of pure potentiality. This law is based on the fact that we are, in our essential state, pure consciousness. When you discover your essential nature and know who you really are, you can then align with a power that manifests everything in the universe. To do this, you must learn to get in touch with the innermost essence of your being. As you gain more and more access to your true nature, you will spontaneously receive creative thoughts. The more tuned in you are to the mind of nature, the more you have access to its infinite, unbounded creativity. Question. So in everyday life, to receive more creative thoughts, how exactly do we tune into what you call the mind of nature? Answer. You can make a commitment to take the following three steps. 1. Sit alone in silent meditation at least twice a day for approximately 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening. 2. Take time each day to commune with nature and to silently witness the intelligence within every living thing. Just sit silently and watch a sunset, or listen to the sound of the ocean, or maybe a stream. Simply smell the scent of a flower. 3. Practice non-judgment. Begin your day with a statement, "Today, I shall judge nothing that occurs," and then throughout the day, remind yourself not to judge. Question. You advise judging nothing that occurs, which seems a bit like the Stoic philosophy of indifference. Why is non-judgment important in a book on success? Answer. Think of it this way. Judgment is the constant evaluation of things as right or wrong, good or bad. When you're constantly evaluating, classifying, labeling, analyzing, you create a lot of turbulence in your internal dialogue. This turbulence constricts the flow of energy between you and the field of pure potentiality. There is a prayer in A Course of Miracles that says, "Today, I shall judge nothing that occurs." If practicing non-judgment for the whole day seems too difficult, then you may simply say to yourself, "For the next 2 hours, I won't judge anything." Or for the next hour, "I'll practice non-judgment." Then you can extend it gradually. Non-judgment creates silence in your mind. Question. And one reason to silence the mind is to be more effective in our days, which brings us to the second law of success, the law of giving. What is this about? Answer: the second spiritual law of success, the law of giving, could also be called the law of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving are different aspects of the flow of energy in the universe. You must give and receive in order to keep wealth and affluence, or anything else you want, circulating in your life. Even the thought of giving, the thought of a blessing, or a simple prayer has the power to affect others. And in our willingness to give that which we seek, we keep the abundance of the universe circulating in our lives. Every relationship is one of give and take. Giving engenders receiving, and receiving engenders giving. Question: so how do we apply the spiritual law of giving in our daily lives? Answer: the best way to put the law of giving into operation, to start the whole process of circulation, is to make a decision that anytime you come into contact with anyone, you'll give them something. It doesn't have to be in the form of material things. It could be a flower, a compliment, even a prayer. In fact, the most powerful forms of giving are non-material. The gifts of caring, attention, affection, appreciation, love, these are some of the most powerful and precious gifts you can give. And they don't cost you anything. When you meet someone, you can silently send them a blessing, wishing them happiness, joy, and laughter. This kind of silent giving is very powerful. You can bring a flower. One flower. You can bring a note or a card which says something about your feelings for the person you're visiting. You can bring a compliment. You can bring a prayer. Make a decision to give wherever you go, to whomever you see. As long as you're giving, you will be receiving. Question: this seems like karma, but in the book, you describe the law of karma as intentional choice making. Can you explain the difference of this? Answer: the third spiritual law, the law of karma, implies the action of conscious choice making. You and I are essentially infinite choice makers. In every moment of our existence, we have access to an infinity of choices. Some of these choices are made consciously, while others are made unconsciously. But the best way to maximize the use of karmic law is to become consciously aware of the choices we make in every moment. Most of us, as a result of conditioning, have repetitious and predictable responses to the stimuli in our environment. Our reactions seem to automatically be triggered by people and circumstances, and we forget that these reactions are still choices that we're making in every moment of our existence. We are simply making many of these choices unconsciously. Question: so how can we become more conscious in our choices? Answer: when you make any choice at all, you can ask yourself two questions. First of all, what are the consequences of this choice that I'm making? In your heart, you'll immediately know what these are. Secondly, will this choice that I'm making now bring happiness to me and to those around me? If the answer is yes, then go ahead and make that choice. If the answer is no, if that choice brings distress either to you or to those around you, then don't make that choice. It's as simple as that. If you step back for a moment and witness the choices you're making as you make those choices, then in just this act of witnessing, you take the whole process from the unconscious realm into the conscious realm. This procedure of conscious choice making and witnessing is very empowering. Question: we all want to make better choices. Let's say a person asserts this conscious effort, but still doesn't get the clear sign of the right choice. In the book, you suggest a tactic for these difficult choices. What is it? Answer: there's a very interesting mechanism that the universe has to help you make spontaneously correct choices. The mechanism has to do with the sensations in your body. Your body experiences two kinds of sensations. One is a sensation of comfort, the other a sensation of discomfort. At the moment you consciously make a choice, pay attention to your body and ask your body, if I make this choice, what happens? If your body sends a message of comfort, that's the right choice. If your body sends a message of discomfort, the then it's not the appropriate choice now. For some people, the message of comfort and discomfort is in the area of the solar plexus, but for most people, it's in the area of the heart. Consciously put your attention in the heart and ask your heart what to do. Then wait for the response, a physical response in the form of a sensation. It may be the faintest level of feeling, but it's there, in your body. Only the heart knows the correct answer. Most people think that the heart is mushy and sentimental, but it's not. The heart is intuitive. It taps into the cosmic computer. At times, it may not even be rational, but the heart has a computing ability that is far more accurate and far more precise than anything within the limits of rational thought. Question. Speaking of irrational, the fourth spiritual law of success is the law of least effort, which you describe in the book as the principle of do less and accomplish more. How does this law work in practical terms? Answer. The law of least effort says that when we harness the forces of harmony, joy, and love, we create success and good fortune with effortless ease. There are three components to the law of least effort. Three things that you can do to put this principle of do less and accomplish more into action. The first component is acceptance. You accept things as they are, not as you wish them to be at this moment. This is very important to understand. You can wish for things in the future to be different, but in this moment, you have to accept things as they are. This leads to the second component of the law of least effort, responsibility. Having accepted this circumstance, this event, this problem, taking responsibility means the ability to have a creative response to the situation as it is now. The third component of the law of least effort is defenselessness, which means not having a rigid point of view. When you remain open to all points of view, not rigidly attached to only one, your dreams and desires will flow with nature's desires. Then you can release your intentions without attachments and just wait for the appropriate season for your wishes and desires to blossom into reality. Question. So let's explore this concept of releasing intention. The fifth spiritual law of success is the law of intention and desire. Can you describe it? Answer. This law states that you can consciously change the energy of your body and therefore influence the energy of your environment, your world, and cause things to manifest in it. This law involves your state of consciousness. There are two qualities inherent in consciousness, attention and intention. Whatever you put your attention on will grow stronger in your life. Whatever you take your attention away from will wither, disintegrate, and disappear. That said, intention is the real power behind desire. Intention and desire work together, and yet they're separate qualities of desire that must be in balance. Your intent is for the future, but your attention is in the present. In other words, you must accept the present as it is, accept the present, and intend the future. The future is something you can always create through detached intention, but you should never struggle against the present. Question. We'll talk about this detached intention in a minute, but first, how can we apply the law of intention and desire in our everyday lives? Answer. You can put the law of intention and desire into effect by making a commitment to take the following steps. 1. I will make a list of all my desires. I will carry this list with me wherever I go. I'll look at this list before I go into the silence and meditation. I'll look at this list before I go to sleep at night. I will look at it when I wake up in the morning. 2. I'll release this list of my desires and surrender it to the womb of creation, trusting that when things don't seem to go my way, there is a reason, and that the cosmic plan has designs for me much grander than even those I have conceived. 3. I'll remind myself to practice present moment awareness in all my actions. I'll refuse to let obstacles consume and dissipate the quality of my attention in the present moment. I will accept the present as it is and manifest the future through my deepest, most cherished intentions and desires. Question. Let's circle back to this idea of detached intention. In the book, you say that to acquire anything, we must relinquish our attachment to it. In fact, the sixth spiritual law of success is the law of detachment. Can you explain what it means to want something, our intention, while not being attached to the outcome? Answer: it means giving up your rigid attachment to a specific result and living in the wisdom of uncertainty. It means enjoying every moment of the journey, even if you don't know the outcome. It means letting go and letting the universe handle the details. This doesn't mean you give up the intention to create your desire. You don't give up the intention, and you don't give up the desire. You give up your attachment to the result. This is a very powerful thing to do. In other words, you still have the intention of going in a certain direction. You still have a goal. However, between point A and point B, there are infinite possibilities. With uncertainty factored in, you might change direction in any moment if you find a higher ideal or if you find something more exciting. Question. You mention an interesting phrase in the book, the wisdom of uncertainty. Can you explain this concept exactly? Answer. People are constantly seeking security, and they'll find that seeking security is actually a very ephemeral thing. The search for security is an illusion. In ancient wisdom traditions, the solution to this whole dilemma lies in the wisdom of insecurity, or the wisdom of uncertainty. This means that the search for security and certainty is actually an attachment to the known. And what is the known? The known is our past. The known is nothing other than the prison of our past conditioning. Uncertainty, on the other hand, means stepping into the unknown. Without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just a stale repetition of outworn memories. You become the victim of your past, and your tormentor today is yourself left over from yesterday. There's no evolution in that. None at all. Question. And finally, that brings us to the last of the spiritual laws of success, the law of Dharma. What exactly is Dharma, and how will we know when we find it? Answer. Dharma is a Sanskrit word that means purpose in life. The law of Dharma says that we have taken manifestation in physical form to fulfill a purpose. The first component of Dharma says that each of us is here to discover our true self, to find out on our own that our true self is spiritual, that essentially we are spiritual beings having a human experience. The second component of Dharma is to express our own unique talents. When you express your unique talents, you usually lose track of time. The third component of Dharma is service to humanity, to serve your fellow human beings and to ask yourself the questions, how can I help? How can I help all those that I come in contact with? When you combine the expression of your unique talents with service to humanity, then you make full use of the law of Dharma. Then you find your unique purpose. And finally, my favorite quotes from the book are as follows. True success is the unfolding of the divinity within us. As you gain more access to your true nature, you'll receive creative thoughts. Non-judgment creates silence in your mind. You must give and receive in order to keep anything you want circulating in your life. Accept the present and intend the future. Without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just a stale repetition of outworn memories. You become the victim of your past. And that's it for this book interview with the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, a practical guide to the fulfillment of your dreams by Deepak Chopra. You've been listening to The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. You can order this book in the links below or on our website if you'd like to support our cause. It puts a few pennies in our pockets without taking any extra pennies from yours. As always, thank you for your time.